Dick Cavett is one of the headliners for the Woodstock Comedy Festival taking place September 20th through the 21st. And it's a great pleasure to welcome Dick Cavett back to the roundtable. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Well, I'm fine. I'm glad we got through all the things that kept, with all the missed calls and things that screwed us up.
Okay. Well, it took us a while to get here, but we're here. And
yeah,
it's
you're all mine now, Joe.
It's a delight to speak to you, as always. I'm a lifelong fan. I think anyone who is in broadcasting and does what I do, which is interview people, owes you an incredible debt. But what fascinates me is your close link to comedy, of how that often defines your work in talking to comedians.
That is interesting, because I was just found a whole box of old clips when I first started in television, or when I was still appearing in clubs and didn't have a show of my own, but appeared on Merv Griffin and then Johnny. And to see myself referred to as comedian Dick Cavett seems interesting now, because they always say talk show host.
But was that the original career goal?
Yeah. Well, I think comedian is a much more honorable profession than talk show host, but don't let that insult you.
Why do you believe that?
Well, it's a greater art, you know, really, to make people laugh. Anybody can talk. Well, most people can. As you find out when you do a talk show, some people cannot.
They cannot.
Yeah, that was it. I came from Nebraska and went to Yale and came to Williamstown in the summer acting. And somebody at the end of the summer of my graduation said, well, I guess you'll be looking for an apartment in New York. And I thought, is that what you do? So I got an apartment in New York, got the PAR job, worked for Johnny. And while working for Johnny, I thought, why don't I do an act? This new kid from Brooklyn, Woody Allen, is starting to do an act. Maybe I should, too. And we were friends, and that's how it all began. I guess I was going to go on to be someone who came out and did comedy.
With that said, one of the things that I find so fascinating about your career, especially with comedians, and there's an entire box set of your shows with legendary comedians that is out in DVD, but you, as a talk show host, and Johnny did this brilliantly, and you do it brilliantly, which is bring so much out of the comedian, because it is very difficult to often talk to a comedian, especially in that setting.
In the sense that they are pretty much wedded to their material.
Right.
And if they come out and do a stand-up and then sit down for the first time in their career, they realize that's a whole different art. I had a brilliant manager, the legendary Jack Rollins of Belafonte fame, Nichols and May, Woody Allen, managed all these people.
Letterman, sure.
Jack said, you're lucky because your act is written in such a way that you could also talk it instead of coming out and doing 23 one-liners. And he said, I'm not going to let you do stand-up when you go on Merv, which is the first I went on, and later Johnny. Talk your act. It talks easily. And that makes a big difference. In a way, you get more credit for the laughs because, for all they know, they're ad-libs. And many of them are. And if you can do both, then you're pretty much in the right territory for yourself.
And it becomes an art of storytelling as well.
It is that, too, yes. There have been great talk show appearances which were one long, wonderful story. Maybe not a lot, but some notable ones.
Did it help you, because later on, being on the other side and asking the questions and being in the presence of these comedians, of learning that art of being on the other side of the couch and telling the stories?
Well, each one of the positions of performing comedy and talk is unique to itself. And I found that when I first started hosting, I either had a tendency to talk too much myself because I wasn't sure I was giving the guest a cue to anything he or she could do. I think I slid off your question. State it again.
Well, actually, you're getting to a more interesting question, but what I was asking about is through talking to these incredible comedians, I assume you learn something from them in your craft when you were then on stage.
Yeah. You if you're smart, you learn from just about everybody, and often they would prove to be, to their surprise, funny sitting down on the panel, a thing they had feared, because I had this stupid, erroneous reputation of being an intellectual. God, if anybody thinks I'm an intellectual, they've certainly never seen one. They would be a little inhibited with me, and I would see the delight on their face when they started to get laughs. And I do have some knack of handling people, I discovered. I don't know consciously what it is. And they would say afterwards, boy, you made me look so good. And I learned from them. One of the most amazing things I learned was sitting next to Groucho so many wonderful times and seeing how he would laugh a bit at what he had just said, or just an inkling of amusement from it, making me realize he didn't think I'm going to say this. I said A to him, he said B to me, and would be surprised at what B was.
Mm.
And it wasn't thought say, it was reflex. He instantly said the right thing.
It's interesting you mentioned that, because I certainly got that impression in watching those tapes of you with Groucho, and more recently with Mel Brooks.
Oh, God, yes. What would be more fun? I'm trying to think how much I would have paid them to sit there in that big theater in Los Angeles for 2 hours with Mel, with nothing planned or rehearsed. And it was one of the golden nights of maybe you have a half dozen in a whole career, where everything goes right. Everything is funny. The audience is delighted. Nobody wants to leave at the end. And Mel brilliantly edited it down. That actually went 2 hours, and he edited it down to a killing hour. Mm. It can be found now. It went from HBO to HBO on demand to, I still run into people finding it on HBO Go, the third version of
yes.
HBO. Do you subscribe to HBO Go, perhaps?
Yeah, I think it's part of the in-demand product that you can get.
What a great treasure trove it is, because everything they've ever had is available there, including Mel Brooks and Dick Cavett together again.
Because there's something that you would say something, and there would be the initial, he would want to answer, but then there was the recognition of what you said and the humor in it that he would acknowledge.
Yeah.
And would further it along. And it was just the craftsmanship. And I could only liken it to two great jazz musicians, of how the two of you work together.
There is that similarity, yeah. There are a few comics who are defined really by a jazz sensibility, like the brilliant Richard Lewis.
Absolutely.
And there's even an online column about Lewis's work and jazz, and how they are so beautifully complementary and comparable to each other.
When you will appear at the Woodstock Comedy Festival, what will you be doing? Which of these roles will you be taking?
Well, I'm going to be talked to at one point. I'm in a panel or two, I'm up for whatever they want to throw to me. I guess Bobcat Goldthwait and I will be chatting on stage.
That should be fun.
I've heard two versions, that he's doing me and that I'm doing him, so I don't know. We might both talk at the same time, or not at all. And they've got some panels on and about comedy with comic folk doing them, and writers and things, so it'll be a feast for comedy fans.
And this is something that you are, I assume that other people's comedy, the one of the reasons that you have been fascinated and can ask questions to comedians and have these conversations is because it's endlessly fascinating to you.
Yeah, you can't exhaust the subject. And it's a potent thing, comedy. It's a weapon when it needs to be. It's sometimes just merely entertainment at extreme ends, silliness. There's great craft involved. There's things you can learn to make you better as a comedian. But if you don't have what Louise Lasser, a former Woody Allen wife, and we were friends for years, Mary Hartman, if you're old enough to remember her.
Sure.
And she said, you have to have, aside from all else that you can learn and practice and try and write, and a funny bone. Some people just aren't funny, and that extends to certain comedians. Some of them, my dearest friends.
Do we make them like we used to? I mean, I think of you, of watching your show, and you would have Groucho and Jack Benny and Woody Allen on.
We made Woody later than those two, but he certainly belongs with them in the pantheon of comedy, no doubt about that. And I know what you mean. It does seem, with some of the super giant Nova types of comedy, Hope, Benny, Burns, and Groucho, of course, and Cosby, and Carlin. It does seem somehow like the older ones are a brand that isn't being quite duplicated anymore. But still, there's still greatness there.
Johnny Carson always said that Jack Benny was the greatest.
Yeah, he was so fond of Benny that that it was quite emotional, really.
Yes.
I can't imagine how Johnny managed to go visit Jack as he was dying, but he did. Some people ducked that necessary chore. I would have gone had I known how sick he was at the end and all of that, but we were on different coasts and I didn't see him anymore, and then suddenly realized how sick he was, and then he was dead. But Johnny and I were in his car on the way to the Magic Castle one night in L.A., and I said, I remember when you first appeared on the Jack Benny show, talk about dreams come true. Because Johnny wrote his thesis on comedy at the University of Nebraska, much of it about Jack Benny. I'm surprised somebody doesn't publish it. And he said, yeah, you know what it is, Richard? When you're on with someone like that for a moment or two, you feel like you're on a par with them.
And you mentioned that emotional contact. Years after he died, people would bring up his name, and he would choke up. So it's a long way of asking the question of do you feel that there, do you have that comedian that is the great for you?
I always think it's an asinine question from the audience usually, and I can hear it coming, and I've learned to say, here's one thing you cannot ask me. Who's been your most interesting guest?
Right.
Well, how on earth would you answer that with thousands and thousands of people in all kinds of categories and all kinds of things? And your favorite guest? Well, of course I can't say who my favorite guest, because I don't know. There were too many greats. Are you forced to pick one out as the winner? But then I always feel forced to add, but if you push me to the wall, Groucho Marx.
Right. In the context of my question of that someone that you get that emotional reaction from in thinking about your time that you spent with them.
Well, that would have to be Groucho, because I could never believe that I would meet him. Then I missed meeting him by 10 minutes as a kid, and then figured, well, I never will. And then I did, and then we became friends. And every time I found myself at his house, or going, his taking me to the country club, or we went to the theater together, went to movies together, the disbelief remained, and my affection for him was deep.
When you look at those those moments, and you think, because you look at the tape now, and he was an elderly man then. At some of the last interviews that you did were with him.
Yes, it's interesting. We did a sort of late-night special half-hour way back about Groucho's appearances on my show. And as we were going through the various shows, with each successive one, you could see, just as my producer put it, a touch of a little failure. Not dramatic, but it did span the very last years of Groucho's greatness, and even Groucho aged, but he always remained funny, and always remained funny about that fact.
We look forward to having you at the Woodstock Comedy Festival. You will be part of a wonderful roster of comedians and comics, and it's a great pleasure to speak with you as always, sir.
Shall I give you a quick Groucho you won't ever have heard?
Please.
He and Tony Randall told me this, were backstage at the Radio City Music Hall as part of some gigantic special. It involved the Rockettes and half the people in show business. They were standing there in their tuxedos. Somebody said, could you two move into this room? We need to bring a piece of scenery in. And they stepped into a room, and at about the same time, in the other end of the room, stepped about 10 pretty dancers who stripped mother naked and changed costumes in front of them. And Groucho turned to Randall and said, you know, you don't get this in the pants business. Isn't that wonderful?
A wonderful remark.
Yeah.
Absolutely
okay.
Wonderful. Dick Cavett, a great pleasure. Thank you very
Thank
much
you.
For being with us. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Joe. Bye.
Dick Cavett will be part of the Woodstock Comedy Festival September 20th through the 22nd. You can find out more information about the entire roster of comedians and events by going to woodstockcomedyfestival.org, woodstockcomedyfestival.org. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.